You might like to open your Bible to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord at word, in a word of prayer. And our God, we've opened thy word. Spirit of God, help us understand and put it together, that we would have the benefit that you have in mind, and that, God, you would help us in the light of the days ahead, even with understanding. And our Father, we'll thank you very much. We think of children and downstairs and any nursery and all of it. God, it's just us. So here we are, your day, your time, for your honor. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And if you go back in history, to the beginning, and Adam and Eve had a wonderful relationship with God directly. Cain and Abel had a relationship to God. Cain chose to not believe. Abel chose to believe. But they had a unique relationship to God. And that relationship to God existed in the Genesis flood, Genesis 6. But they didn't want to have a relationship to God. They left God out of the picture. So when we come to Genesis 11, after the Genesis flood, they go, the system, world system, humans, what did they do? In the Tower of Babel, they built a tower and a city, had religion and politics. And that's what they did. They substituted, in place of God, the tower and the city. And thus God scattered them, Genesis 10, to all of the nations that existed at the time. God divided them up into nations. And thus they had the politic and the religion. Lots of religion, lots of politics. Government. Now, having said that, but Adam and Eve knew, and Abel knew, and Abraham had a direct contact. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they all had a wonderful relationship to God directly. There is no Bible, it's just God and humans. And God dealt with people like Job and the rest of them. Now, having said that, Moses comes along. He has a wonderful relationship to God. And out from Moses and by way of Egypt, 430 years, what do we have? We have Israel as a nation comes out of the land of Egypt, crosses the Red Sea into the Sinai, etc. Now, and God introduces himself to them. Now, how is God, up to this point, Moses is very comfortable with God. But the general populace that go out of Egypt are not. So therefore, how is God going to be able to use Israel and make Israel a special nation to show, Deuteronomy 4, to show all the nations of the world that God is the ruler and government and God is to be worshipped? How are they to do that? They aren't in the place to do that. So what does God have to do? God, and since they don't want to believe God, Genesis 19, they said, all that you say God will do. In other words, we're quite good enough and big enough to do what we need to do. You tell us what you want, and we'll pass the test. Now, they couldn't do that, but they didn't know it. So, God, what did you do? You had a very special way to help them understand, and that you and your saving grace would be there. In other words, you'd be merciful and gracious to them so that you could dwell among them. How could you do that, God? Well, God went And had we, as we shared last time, Exodus 30 and that, God made, had them make a very special oil. No one, just very special, and you could never duplicate it in the sense of using it wrongly. Very expensive, special oil. What was the oil for? To anoint, to spread, to mark. What do they do? How did they do it in the world? Well, how did God do it? God had the anointing oil, and he anointed the priest to be able to go into the tabernacle. He anointed the kings to be able to be kings. He anointed the prophets to be prophets. He did this. He set them apart. He anointed, he marked them. Here's all of the things. And God marked this. God marked this by anointing him so that you knew it was special. And the tabernacle from top to bottom was anointed. Everything is marked. God puts his stamp on what he's going to use and how he's going to use. The anointing oil set apart a vehicle or a person for God's special service, sacred service. God did that. So God, the tabernacle pointed to Christ. The priest pointed to Christ, the priest after the order of Melchizedek. The kings pointed to Christ, the King of Kings. The prophets pointed to Christ, the Word of God, become flesh among us. All of it sanctioned and set apart for God to be camped in the tabernacle in the middle of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, how could God be there, and how could God keep them like they did, like he did? Because he was looking at the person and work of Christ going to the cross, making it all possible. So, Israel was to enjoy being a separate people, a special people, because of God's anointing, setting apart the whole system, all of which pointed to Christ. We then shared together, as we did, Christ. And we went and looked at that, our Lord Jesus and Isaiah 61, etc. And Christ, pointed to Christ. Christ is the anointed one. The word Christ means anointed, anointed, set apart, sacred, holy, H-O-L-Y. He's holy, God in Christ. Christ, who was born, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And we shared together, and over in Acts chapter 2, and in Acts chapter 2, just reminding you, they all knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was, the word Christ means anointed. He's the anointed one. Christ makes it possible for a human heart to enjoy God, to be set apart for God, to enjoy the privileges and purpose that God created us in the first place. So, Acts chapter 2 in Peter's sermon, going directly in the light of the context, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's the anointed. So, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he's the anointed one. We didn't receive oil, and like the prophet Moses would put on the Aaron or something, on the priest. No, we don't get that. How do we get anointed? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you received the anointed one who anoints you. He sets you apart. He makes you holy. He does when I received him. That's how I became when you got saved. You are set apart to enjoy God in a most wonderful way, an awesome way. Now, with that in mind, back over to 1 John. And in 1 John in chapter 2, picking up if I may, and you will note, 1 John chapter 2, if I may, and in the process now, remember, chapter 2, verse 12, 13, 14 is about growing up. Believers need, we shared it, if you lived in the jungle, no, if you live in the city, you have to learn how to live in the city. But if I ship you to the jungle of Ecuador or something, you're going to have to learn how to live in the jungle. You may how to live in the city, but boy, in the jungle, you got to have a re-education. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you have to understand, you have to learn how a whole nother way, different than everything else, you have to learn God's way, a whole nother life in a whole nother way. It's brand new, wonderfully brand new. So you got to grow. 1 John 2, 12, 13, 14, to grow up. And in the process, everything's against you growing up. The world loves darkness rather than light. And the love of the world keeps us from the love of God, verse 15. And therefore we share together, sliding down. God tells us, the Gospel of John, in the light of the Gospel of John, to believe. 1 John, 40 years later. What have we got back there? What are we looking at? Well, back 40 years later, what are we saying? There's a whole lot of things. It's going, you're trying to enjoy the local church was to be filled with believers who were enjoying the life of God. When they were enjoying the life of God in a most wonderful way, as they did enjoy the life of God, that they were able to go and understand a relationship they had to God that was for real. But, and in the process, as Christianity and Acts chapter, Book of Acts, etc., and the church grew, the church was hated. It cut into what? What is the church? It's the church is the local body of believers who are together, who represent the head, even our Lord Jesus Christ. So as the local churches gather together, they're looking to and honoring one person, not our persons, but one person, namely our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look to God and look to God as we're seeking to grow, so we need to know in growing that the system around us is not interested in growing, isn't interested in light, isn't interested in right. It's not interested. It's opposing it. And thus we read in verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and we shared why that's true. Because the next minute after God takes us home, the rapture, when God does that, when he's going to do it, then come, right now we're in a time of grace. Grace is holding back the wrath of God, the tribulation. So as long as grace is being put up front, the wrath of God is put down below. But when the church goes, grace goes, and the wrath of God occurs. So, and that is where we're going. So, but the system loves darkness rather than light. So the Antichrist, it's Antichrist, against Christ, instead of Christ, a hatred of Christ. What do you mean? We're against God. We want to be religious. By that I mean religion becomes a substitute so that we can say, well, are you going to believe in God? And then you say, no, I believe in thus and thus and thus and thus. I have my religion to defend myself why I'm not a believer. I have my religion to protect me. I have my government to protect me. I have whatever it is to protect me from having to think that I have to answer to God. There's only one God and only one Savior. God created me in His image and likeness, like our declaration, the second paragraph. Created us, and we're responsible to God. But I don't want to be responsible. So I love darkness rather than light, and I am Antichrist. I'm against God becoming a man. Becoming a man born in Bethlehem of Judea, the perfect man and the perfect God, becoming a unique person. God becoming a man to save me. God can't be ever die and be crucified. God, the invisible God, in whom presence we can never be out of. That's something else. But for God to become like us, flesh and blood, born in Bethlehem of Judea, that God could become like us and part of us, to go to the cross and die, to pay for our sin, to die on the cross, the wages of sin is death. God would go and pay the price. So, and having done that and paid the price, so then the world doesn't want to know that. The world doesn't want to see that. The world loves darkness and don't want to talk about it. Doesn't mind being religious up to here. Just don't think about it rightly. And you can't miss it, like we shared in Sunday school. You can't miss the flowers, the birds, the bees, the bugs, your body. Everything points to God. There's no way to get out of it. You know it better than I do. I've said it 1,000 times, as it were. I don't know of any subject. Geology, whatever you want to do. Everything points to God. You can't study any subject without coming up with God. Look through the microscope. Look through the telescope. Now, we said it the other day. Here's all the galaxies. Billion of them, trillion of them. That's what they say. The spaceship. What are you saying? We have to change our whole thinking. Why do we have to change our thinking? Because in the process of it, we have to understand the universe isn't expanding. It isn't expanding. We thought it was expanding. It isn't. We got to rethink everything. Right. God told you that in the first place, if you just read it now. So, this verse 18, the spirit of Antichrist is there, and it's everywhere. Against you, believing, letting God be God. In particular, letting God be in your heart. You've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. God is in you. If God isn't in you, you're not saved. God, what God? The God who can't be measured. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost. God, you can't be measured. No, no. But I'm able to go. I had a unique relationship with Adam and Eve. I had a wonderful relationship with Moses. And now Christ has made the anointed one, has taken whosoever's that believe and anointed them. He's the anointing. He's the one that separates them and sanctifies them and sets them apart for sacred service. He's the one that makes them a vessel fit for the master's use. He makes them fit, and therefore they are the anointed. And the anointed are able to enjoy a wonderful God in the midst of a world that is not happy with them. It hates them. It hates light. Now, so back, here we are, chapter 19, chapter 2, I should say, and in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had, have they been on us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they, purpose, that they might be made manifest, clear, public, plain, that, purpose, they were not all of us. They were not of us. They were never saved. In other words, in the church, and the people came, new thing, and people were in it as we shared all those different things. Some said the resurrection is past, all kinds of different things. And in the process, people believe, people that were there, among with Peter, James, and John, later would have left and left. Why do they leave? They weren't of the same mind. They weren't of the same mind. That's what it says. They weren't saved. What made them, what was the difference of the early church? Not like the church today. What was the early church like? It was full of God's wonderful grace. And everyone knew, even the dumb Corinthians, like we shared in Sunday school, they knew. They knew. They tried to capitalize on being different. God knew. They were wonderfully. They had a unique relationship with God. He is the, what kind of, as a son. They were sons. In the Son, they were able to say, Romans 8, Galatians 4, they were able to say, Abba, Father, Hebrew and Greek, Father. God is my Father, literally and really and wonderfully. I'm able to know my Creator and my Savior. God says it over and over again in Isaiah. I'm the only God and the only Savior, and I save you. How do you save me? There's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, a baby, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Emmanuel. He's going to be Christ. He's the anointed one. That's going to do, makes all, everything come together. Christ's death on the cross makes it all, the whole program of God is dependent on Christ's death on the cross. So, now, so in the process of that, the believers were fresh, and they were in fellowship with God. But in that fellowship, if you weren't saved, you could never enjoy the fellowship. You had to be know the Lord as your Savior, like we shared together. Here's, you're born with FM, you're born with AM frequency, radio. You're born with it, earthly. We speak to each other, talk to each other, do it. We're earthly. But God put a spirit in us, body, soul, and spirit, that we would have FM. So that what? We're able to talk and have a relationship to God. God made it so we could get saved, in other words. So I can get saved, rightly so. Spiritually saved, because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So I could get saved, yes, in a wonderful way. Now, having got saved, and all the arguments were there, the Gnostics, knower, Gnostics knowing, the verb knowing, knowing, Gnostics. And knowers, what were the knowers doing? Well, the knowers, the Greeks had a lot of people that thought they had these special understandings of special things, especially religious, and we had special understanding. And so if you really wanted to enjoy, and I have something special, make believe, and therefore you come and join my little group to enjoy what I think, what I know is special, and I try to help you enjoy the specialness. Another cult, another ism, another group. That's what we can do. We can do that. But it's what they did. Now in the process, here's the believer, and the believer's facing all of this in ways more than I can even, I didn't even try to do. They had a tough problem in trying to walk a straight line, stay in the light, and enjoy God because everything was against it. So therefore, what did they need to know? John, what are you telling us believers? We got the little bit about it. We need to grow. We understand we're in a world that doesn't want us to grow. We doesn't want us to be, understand these are the last days, the last hour, etc. Now, so therefore, God, what are you going to do? He goes, verse 20, but we have an unction. In the light of all that we just tried to mumble out, we have an unction. The word unction is to spread. We have, the word unction is the word anointing. Same word, unction / anointing. That's what it is. We have an anointing. When did you get the anointing? When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you received Him as your Savior, God, the Anointed One, He, being set apart, set you apart. When He took you and saved you in a most wonderful way, He makes you holy. Where are you going to be holy? In Christ. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you're finding your home and your heart and head in Christ. God made it possible to have an awesome relationship to who He is. So, having said that, we have an unction. We have it. We are having it, present tense, from the Holy One. And you know, that word know means full, final, complete knowledge. You know something. You know that you have a hand. You know it. You don't have to go to school. It isn't first grade, second grade, third grade. You just know it. You just know you're alive. Most people, right? You know you're alive. You just know it. That's the word. To know. You have an, and you know something wonderful. You know all things. Now, the all things, when you do that, and you have to see that, it'll be a little help maybe to you. You know all things. So, you know something. Now, and I'll give it to you different. If you could stand with a dentist and the person opens their mouth and the light's there, and then the dentist gives you his special goggles and everything, and you take all them and look, and the light, and they go, and the person opens their mouth, and now they look in. Do you know you can look at your teeth in the mirror, but when the dentist looks in your teeth, boy, they see what you couldn't even dream of. They see it and pull your tooth out now. But in the process, they see it. That's the word know. You have an unction, so you know all things. All things. All things is nominative and accusative, plural. Now, so, but both are true. Both are true. Depends what you read. Both are true. You know all things. So therefore, you're knowing all things. And in the same breath, you are nominative. You all know. You all know. You all know. You're all knowers. Same time, same thing. And you know all things. You are knowers that are knowing all things. How can that be? Because the over if you would please, sliding over if I can. Over in the circle, thinking of that in mind. Knowing, you're having knowing everything. I'll do a different way, maybe. If I had a dictionary, a big dictionary, complete, if you could ever do that. Volumes and volumes, I mean, 30 volumes of the English language. Just dictionary, 30 volumes. Big volumes, this thick, from Oxford. I got it, $3,000. What it is. Well, it's every single word in the English language expanded to every place it was ever found in the beginning. So I can go to the first place the word was ever recorded in the English language. Now, make believe I got this big dictionary in the bindings there. Now, and I could tell you, I know, I'm able to know every word. I know every word in the English language. Why? I have it in my hands between the binding called the dictionary. I have every word. When I received Christ as my Savior, he became like a dictionary. He brings to your heart all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. And he brings to you all truth. Do it a different way. If you were to go, as it were, and you had a house, go over to Hebrews. Hebrews again. And in chapter 3. Now you know, without going there, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, and 6 and 19 and 20, what do you know? You know that your body, you're the temple to house God. You're God's temple, God's place where he's able to go and find his, to be at home. More specifically, to catch that, at home. The church is his temple. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 6. But Christ is a son, over 3 and 6 of Hebrews. But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, affirm unto the end, we are his house. Where he finds a home. You go, come to my house, enter my house, and he finds a home. He finds a home. How can he find a home? Christ has set me apart for him to be at home. To be at home in my heart, to set me apart. So, when I do that, our Lord Jesus Christ sets me apart. And when I received him as my Savior, it's his house, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So it's his house. And you know what? Anything and anything about you want to know, ask the resident who's in my house, who happens to be president in my house. Ask the resident in my house, the Spirit of God knows all truth. He is all truth. He is. He is. So I have to go anywhere. I have all truth. Do it a different way. The vine, the trees, the branches. The branch is flourishing, going to flourish. Pretty soon have leaves in it. And it doesn't matter the winter, the storms, anything. All it does is abide in the trunk and enjoy the life of the trunk. If to cut it off, the branch dies. But when you leave the branch on, what does? It does wonderful, it just enjoys the life of the vine. I was reading the other day of the sequoia, as you probably might have, sequoia trees in California. And they're oldest. Oh, they're old. Go way back to Moses. 3,400 plus years old. 3,400 plus years old. You've been next to them. You ever stood in the sequoia forest? And you've been there. Wow. And they rise over 275 feet high into the air. Wow. And they use, and down the system, down in the ground, that trunk is 1 foot thick, the trunk is. And that trunk, it does what? It takes water, 500 gallons a second, to the top of that tree and down. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. Gone. God, what have you got? Well, God, you're able to go and do a wonderful thing. So God, you're housing. We're housing God's wonderful, wonderful person. We're like the tree. We're just a branch. But the tree is endless. Think of how would you ever create something to last over 1,000 years? Wouldn't it be good if your car lasted over 1,000 years? Your furnace? It doesn't. Doesn't do it. God did that. 3,000 years. Nothing to it. Nothing to it. It's awesome. Awesome. Wow. Now, God, what? So here we are looking at, there's a cup. What have we got with the cup? You're a cup. And it's full. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He becomes, and in, do that. Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2. Verse 9, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, deity, bodily, our Lord Jesus Christ, full of God, all of God. And verse 10, you are complete in Him. Back up to the word fullness in verse 9, to the word complete in verse 10. You are complete, you are full in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. So when I receive Christ as my Savior, as we said earlier, you don't get more of God. You get all the Father and all the Son and all the Holy Ghost and all of His wonderful saving grace. You have the person of God in your heart. And that's what is so awesomely wonderful. It's God's plan, God's will, and the humans say that's nothing doing. They don't want to. They don't want to enjoy the awesome privilege beyond all privileges. And once you come to know the Lord as your Savior and you begin to grow and know, you become very comfortable with these things because they're just real. They're just real. If I studied flowers, if I studied them, all of the different wonderfulness of each bud, each part of that flower, and I studied it, I would become very comfortable with those flowers. I know that how they fed, I know how they come, I know how long they last, I know what bugs do and bugs don't do, I know all of it. I'm very comfortable. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, God makes you very comfortable with who He is. God makes you very comfortable with who He is. He knows everything. And you're content. And therefore, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, you know all things. You all know. You all know our knowers. And you all know all things. Because God does. And He has made His residence, His home in your heart. And that's why you have it. You have the wonderful, wonderful what? Be able to what? God, the Spirit of God, what are you telling us, John? Don't worry about all the stuff out there. You rest in what? You rest not in what's being told, what's being said, what's being fed, what's being promoted. You're resting in God's Word, and the God who said it, and you're resting in it. And therefore, as you rest in the Word of God, why is it going to be counted on? Because you understand it? No, you probably don't. We don't. We don't understand how to anything. But it isn't our understanding. It's the fact that God is the Word become flesh and makes all the words his words. Search the scriptures, for they are they which speak of me. I'm going to give you my words, so I have them. I'm not trying. You want? Are you trusting what you understand to get to heaven? You should be trusting God's word, and you're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. God's going to do exactly what he said he would do. And he didn't ask you, he didn't ask me about it. He just said, I created you, I died to save you, and I want to save you. I want you to enjoy being saved, and therefore we believe and receive him as our Savior, and we have the benefit, the awesome benefit. So therefore looking to God, and God dealing with our heart and dealing with our head, so we find ourselves God in the heart. When you received him as your Savior, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman, boy or girl, open the door. We aren't talking about that door. We're talking about this door. Open the door. I will come into him, the person. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I received the right person for the right reasons, in the right way, and I get all the rightness that goes with it. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to help me understand that I have an awesome relationship to you and I have a knowing. So God, you know. So people can say whatever they want. I believe this about the Bible. I believe this is going to happen. Do a whole kinds of things. What am I trusting in? I'm trusting in God who said what he said. He said, abide in me and I in you in the same as this, and you'll bear much fruit. And verse 15, 5. Without me, you can do nothing. Again. So God, over to John. John chapter 14. And so God, it's this very simple thing. Simple thing. John chapter 14, picking up our Lord going to the cross in the upper room, and he prepares them for the anointing. And he goes, and in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, said the Lord, and he shall, to the disciples, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another of the same kind, not a different kind, another of the same kind, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 20, at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. A wonderful, just simple. You couldn't ask for more simple language. I'm in you, you're in me, we're in him. That's where we are, him. I live inside my body. That's a simple statement. You live inside your body. Wonderful thing. I received Christ as my Savior. He took over. He finds his home in the heart of the believer, since he created him in his image and likeness, for God to be able to find his home in believers. How could you enjoy God in God's eternal, wonderful heaven? What are you doing in God's eternal, wonderful heaven? God is being God, as he always is, and can never be anything but God forever. And you, God has made you to be able what? To enjoy God, who is unchangeable forever and ever and ever. What has God done for the human when he saves them? He's given them a wonderful privilege of being able to enjoy God, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens forever. That's heaven, among other things, to be able to enjoy God. How? Because God finds his home in your heart and makes you part of his wonderful body in the most wonderful way. And so we're to enjoy God. And therefore, sliding over in the light of verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, and verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. And chapter 14, sliding over, verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But, back over to the anointing, God anoints. The Spirit of God is the one who anoints. He anoints because Christ is the anointed, and the Spirit of God applies to your heart all of his saving grace on Calvary's cross, all that he is, all that he means to you, all that he has in mind. The Spirit of God's ministry is to bring that home to your heart. In verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father can, who will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So God, you're going to go when I receive the Lord as my Savior, and the Spirit of God is going to come at the same moment and help brings that a wonderful anointing of the, because I receive Christ as my Savior. I'm to know the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the truth of God, the wonderful truth of God, the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, is going to bring all that truth home to your heart. All things. John 2:20, you don't have to turn there. And you will know, I have given you what an anointing, an unction, so that you know all things. Also, you all know your knowers who know all things. Your knowers. But I don't. But I can look it up in my dictionary. And what I don't know, and I don't know even when I know it, God in me knows it all. He knows it all. And that's why don't get sidetracked and say, well, someone said this. Trust God. Trust the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You may not understand it. You may think it says something else. Give yourself space. Count to 10,000 and learn inch by inch and relearn it, rethink it. Keep thinking, understanding, resting in God who has it very clear. And the Spirit of God says, relax with all that's happening in the world of darkness and unbelief. People come, people go, people do, don't do. All of it's happening. Be trusting God so that, what? You don't lose the relationship to God. He has anointed you and made you special to be able to serve, to be able to be at home with God, and God at home with you. Enjoy the trip. That's what to do. And don't get sidetracked by anyone or anything, anywhere. Stay on track and trust God. That's what you do. Someone said, I don't care what they said. I don't care if they wrote 55 books. I'm trusting God's word, God's recipes. Don't miss with the recipes. Change the recipe, you change the result. Don't mess with the recipes. It's a wonderful thing. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, as we stumble through this, to try, it's an awesome God, so wonderfully simple. And God, it just makes it so us nobody's God, we can enjoy the wonderful awesomeness of truth. We're able to enjoy God, your wonderful person, and we don't get sidetracked with all the things that would make for questions, make for doubts, make for discouragement, God, but we don't have to get caught up in it. No, we're caught up in your marvelous presence that God, Spirit of God, you bring us into the truth. You are the truth. So bring us to the truth of God, that we would be telling the truth about God. And our Father will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.